to talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and for the next 2 hours, you're kind of stuck with me, if that makes any sense at all. So you're welcome to give us a call. You're welcome to participate in the show. You're welcome to do whatever the heck you want to do. You just have to give us a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. What are you laughing about already? Nothing in particular? Okay. Well, sitting next to me is my wife of 472 years. And
Yeah, her mic is off.
Okay, well, I should probably, you know why her mic is off? It's because I don't have the right button pushed. Now, why don't you talk there?
Okay, how's that?
You're in number four, not number two.
Hooray! Oh,
holy mackerel, thank
you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you already started to misbehave.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so we'll start the show off with the story that you told me this morning, which I don't know what you thought. You know me good enough to know that this doesn't bother me, but evidently you got a call.
I got a call. I've been working pretty hard the last couple of weeks. Andy needed help with some year-end stuff. So
Andy's our daughter, and she handles all the books and the money, so right. It's year-end stuff. And she has a little girl that's at our shop every day that's a year and a half old.
Yeah, so mainly I'm the babysitter, but that's okay because
so
I enjoy that.
Your granddaughter while Andy finishes the year-end books. Okay, so we just set the stage. So you've been
right.
At the shop a lot, and I suppose you've been answering the phone because it takes a team to answer the phone.
Yes, yes, and usually Andy answers the phone. So I had a gentleman call in, and he said, something, you know, hi, how are you doing? I have this car, and your dad always says, and your dad always says, and your dad always says. And finally, after about the third time, I said, ooh, really, Mark's not going to like that. And so I told him who I was, and he was all embarrassed. But I said, oh, that's okay. Andy answers the phone all the time. And everybody calls me his dad, or they call him my dad anyway.
Right. And I think I talk about Andy, our daughter, and our son, who runs
right.
The shop. And so they assume you're Andy.
That's right.
And they're talking to your dad. But when we go to restaurants, and perhaps I'm there, and they'll say to me, do you want to order something for your daughter? Because they think, and we're the same age.
Right.
It's just that I'm a little bit more weathered than you are.
Yeah, we can do stuff to take care of that weathering pretty well.
Oh, anyway, so that's kind of a day in the life. We've been kind of slow, but it's typically slow in January. We were running and gunning through November and December.
Yeah.
Most folks are off during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and so we get Dad's car on Monday. We get wife's car on Wednesday and stuff like that.
Yeah, Christmas break's usually busy because the kids are home from school, so they want to get all the car stuff done, and now that's kind of slowed down, and people are getting back in the swing of things. So it gets a little slow right now, and then it'll pick back up pretty quick here.
Well, and then we did add to our staff recently, mm-hmm. both in service riders and both on the floor, technicians. We had Ron come back to us. Ron had been with us 10 years ago.
Yeah, actually it was 13, if you
13
can believe
years
that.
Ago.
He quit in 2003
okay.
to go to Idaho, and then he's back.
So he called and he says, hey, would you take me back? And I said, in a heartbeat, because he's always been a great guy. All of us remembered Ron by this way. We remembered Ron because he had a coffee pot on his toolbox. Well, first of all, his toolbox is bigger than most cars.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we call it a taco cart.
He
because
could probably live in there,
he
actually.
Could. He could. The drawers are big enough. So he had a coffee pot, and how many, before I even say it, because you're going to say I'm exaggerating, how many pots of coffee did he make every day?
Well, we used to tease him. It was like 10 or 12.
Every day.
Every day. And it wasn't like a two-cup pot of coffee. It was a 8 or 10 cup coffee.
The craft.
Correct.
Which showed
yes.
8 or 10. So he drank coffee like there was no tomorrow. What I was always amazed is when you drink that much coffee, you spend a lot of your time in the bathroom. And he didn't. I mean, you didn't look out on his bay and you say, well, where's Ron? Oh, he's going to the bathroom.
Maybe he has a bathroom in his toolbox and we just don't know it.
We could be. It very well could be. He's going to love you for saying that.
I know. I hope he's not listening. Anyway, but I hope Andy is listening because today's her birthday, and so we want to wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, absolutely. She's our youngest.
Right.
Ironically enough, she's our youngest, and she's actually running her older brother.
Oh, someone, I don't know. They work pretty well together, but yes,
she
kind of takes control. But
you've always stuck up for him. But in fact, Andy runs her older brother. She is in charge of keeping him straight. Right. Okay. Here's one of the things.
See, that's just like you and me. So I have to keep you straight.
Well,
and it's a tough job.
And folks, most of all of our friends have coined us Jack the Ripper and Snow White.
You have.
Okay, well, I've carried that tradition on by calling myself Jack the Ripper and you're Snow White. But it involves Andy and Alan, our kids, too, because Andy is more of the straight talker, ripper kind of type, and Alan is the kind of put his arms around you and, you know,
schmoozer.
He's a schmoozer.
That's right.
So, and that worked well for us through our business life, and it's worked well for the kids as well. So anyway, the point I wanted to make is because we've upped in staff and stuff, where we've typically been by appointment only, we're now going to open that up a little bit because we've staffed up for that. So if any of you are our customers, and we're on Warner and I-10, if any of you are involved in car repair, you can call and check with Andy, or you can check with Brandon, and the two of them can tell you if we can take you in for a quick oil change or look at something. Now, looking at something is quite different than fixing it, because looking at something could be a 5 or 10 or 20 minute fix, but looking at something could also be we got to order a part and we got to do a bunch of work. So given that, we're going to kind of open the door to impromptu's kind of visits. Just call us and let us know you're coming, or call us and say, can you handle, I have 2 hours free, can I get an oil change, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think most of the independents, they kind of run with us too. You know, if we're busy, they're busy. If we're not, they're not. So I
John is your first caller. John.
Independents could do that for you too. That's on the best car repair list.
And you bring up a good point when you talk about independents, because in our industry of car repair, there's chain stores.
Right.
There's independent repair shops, and then there's dealers. And that really covers the gamut. I don't know anybody who falls outside of that category as chain stores. We represent the independent shops. And, of course, we just want you to remember this, that you can use an independent repair facility for routine maintenance on your new car. Now, many new cars come with the first 4 oil changes for free, or the first 2 years for maintenance for free. That sounds like a good idea, but if you look in your owner's manual, there is nothing there in the first 2 years or the first year or two. There's nothing there. There's oil changes and a tire rotation every other oil change. That's all that's there. So it's a nice way to sell you. There's some that might take advantage of you to sell you lots of other stuff that doesn't appear in your owner's manual. But if you're going to use an independent repair shop, you bring up a good point. You wrote down, you have to keep the receipts and make sure they have the date and the mileage and exactly what was done. That's very important, because if there's any kind of an issue, then if you have a receipt from a qualified service center, a service center that gives you a valid receipt, and the receipt has to have the date and the mileage and the car and the shop's logo and stuff on it, that kind of eliminates that problem altogether. At least 2 or 3 times a year, we get a request from our customers to give them a receipt for this time frame. And we, like everybody else in the independent industry, almost everybody else, can give that.
Yeah, but I've had a lot of people call, too, and say, oh, I didn't know you could change my oil. I thought I had to go back to the dealer, because they kind of imply that it will void their warranty, and it doesn't. I mean, if you have free ones, of course, go back there. But if you don't, you can use whatever facility you want, as long as you have these pieces of paper that have the information on it.
And there's another issue. There is another issue is when anyone dictates what you must do or the parts you must do, they call it the Magnuson-Moss Act. And, folks, you can Google that yourself. Magnuson-Moss Act, and it says this. And this started back with actually a vacuum cleaner company. The vacuum cleaner company told everybody that they had to use only their vacuum bags. That started it. Toyota, and this goes back 15, 20 years ago, Toyota then came out and said, you have to use only our Toyota filters. The government came out with this Magnuson-Moss Act that says that if you dictate what parts they must use, you must provide those parts for free. So if Toyota says you can only use a Toyota oil filter, they got to provide it for free. Now, don't take my word for it, because I'm not a lawyer. Just look up Magnuson-Moss Act. And you'll see right there what it says. Well, that stopped that crap real quick, because that stuff just went away. The other day on our Dyson vacuum, I was looking for a beater brush. And I can't tell you how many different beater brushes. But when I looked at the reviews, one of the things that was real common on the Amazon beater brushes was when I got it, it didn't look exactly like the one I was replacing. The head on our vacuum.
Right.
And it didn't have Dyson written on it, and it didn't have the model written on it. So when I looked at the Dyson inventory. They did. It said ours is a Dyson Animal. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Dyson Multifloor. So I looked, I was getting a beater brush for the animal. So it said Dyson Animal. Well, the difference in the price was only $8. And I just didn't want to take the chance. And some of the other people said it didn't work as well. I don't really trust that it didn't work as well. But I guess longevity and all that other kind of stuff. Because we've had those vacuums 8 years.
Yeah, and they've been really good.
And you just recently broke that one vacuum.
No. So, you break it because you have to take it apart and clean it after I vacuum every time,
yeah.
Every day, almost every day.
Well, I do take it out into the shop to dust it off, but that's just normal
And I
stuff.
Go out there and it looks like a car taken apart. I don't
well,
get
Well, there
it.
Are some bearings that need to be lubed, and we have to deline the tires and stuff like that. But that's not
Two
what
minutes.
Happened here. What happened here was is that you were vacuuming. I think you were vacuuming, or I was vacuuming, and there was an unusual noise. Well, I don't use the one in the house that much. I use the one downstairs, and then I take it out and use it. I just used it in my garage, my barn.
There's the problem
oh,
right
bull.
There.
So when you were using it, I noticed it had a noise, and so then I took the beater bar off, and the one bearing on the one end, it just wiped out. Mm-hmm. And so then I ordered it. It was $32. That's freight paid. I didn't buy the whole head, by the way. I just bought the beater bar.
But I bet you bought an extra one.
No.
Because you always buy two of everything.
No, and you know what, though? He did tell me, and he was really nice at Dyson. He said, both your Animal Dyson DC65 and your DC65 Multifloor, all the parts are interchangeable. You only need to order one for both. Quarantine in Deer Valley is a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop, independent auto repair shop that served the Deer Valley and North Phoenix area since 1983. Tom and his guys, they're really, really good. They have ASE-certified technicians. They do quality workmanship. And the process is simple. The diagnosis, the bidding, the estimate, then the repair, and then the verification that the repair fixed the problem. That's the process. And they do it as well as everybody else. And they do it as well as everybody else on the best car repair shops. So, again, if you want help as your vehicle, as your owner, to understand what they're doing and why, you can make the better decisions when they share all that what and why with you. And that's what Action Auto Repair is all about. They're I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. And I've known Tom since the 1970s, the late 70s. And since then, we've been very good friends. And he's exactly the kind of guy that I would hope you would use if you don't already have a garage up near I-17 in Deer Valley. We'll be back right after this.
All right, Donald John.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and just like we promised, we have to take John, because John's been waiting, and we didn't mean to ignore him, but we really had to finish up all the rest of the stuff. John, you have my full attention. How the heck are you?
Well, hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, I've got this this Ford Ranger. It's an 05. I bought it new. It has 100,000 miles on it, and I haven't had any trouble with it until now.
Okay.
About every 50 miles or so, just all of a sudden, it's like it misses on all six cylinders.
Okay.
And that's just for a second. And it's back to normal again.
And when that happens, what does the dash or the tach do if you have a tach?
You know, I didn't notice.
Okay.
I never noticed.
Does it have a tach?
Yes, it does.
Okay, that's really important. You and I could probably fix this together. First of all, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's not fuel, because that's not what happens when we're starving the engine. What happens is I hear, Mark, I put my throttle at 3/4 and everything's fine, but if I go past 3/4, then it falls on its face, and in order for it to recover, I have to back off the throttle for the count of 1, the count of 2, the count of 3, and then I come back on, and I go a little less than 3/4, and everything's fine. So that's called, you know, the critical provided level, that we can provide this much fuel for 61 miles an hour, but not 63 miles an hour. In your particular case, this sounds like an ignition malfunction. The pickup assembly in the distributor is bad. And if that's the case, your tach needle will go crazy. It might go bury it. It might start wagging like a dog's tail, or it might fall to zero and come up and fall to zero and come up. So keep an eye on that tach needle. And I think that will tell us, because the question is this fuel or ignition? And at this particular point, based on our conversation, I'd bet $9 out of $10 that you have an ignition malfunction. and the most likely area, and I know that your 05 is 12 years old, so it doesn't have a crank sensor and a cam sensor, which is what the newer model cars have. So it has a pickup assembly and the distributor, or and that pickup assembly or the ignition module are going to be the suspects. Now, the pickup assembly can be temperature sensitive, but in reality, it's cheaper to just replace that son of a gun than it is to pull it and test it and do all that fancy stuff. It's just cheaper to replace it. You pay parts and labor, boom, we're done. The ignition module, many of us still have a device that we can take the module off and plug it into this tester, and then this tester goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it goes through all this, and then if you get a bank of green buttons, you're fine, and if of the 10 buttons, there's four of them that are red, then it failed a particular test. So that's kind of what you're up against. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can go buy a rebuilt distributor for that, and it's going to come with a pickup and probably a module. You'll probably pay less than $100 for it. And if you want to guess, that's where I would think you'd guess, as long as your tack needle goes crazy. If the tack needle doesn't go crazy, the second thing I want you to do is play with your ignition key. So as you're driving down the road, I want you to kind of turn the key backwards and jiggle the keys, but don't go to the detent. Don't turn the car off. I don't want you to do that. The same way, go forward. But not to where the start, of course, if you're in drive, the starter's not going to come on anyway. But go forward a little bit, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Go back a little bit, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle with the key switch, and tell me if that happens. If you can pinpoint the problem, together I've saved you $100 in diagnostic money.
So okay.
That's what I try, okay?
Okay, Mark. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, John. Thank you very much. James had called us, and James had said that he had a 95. Actually, he left me a message, but I'm going to answer him back. But 95 Lexus, it calls for a 530. Can I use a 020? What he didn't tell me is how many miles it's got on it, and I'm going to ask him that. I'm going to ask him what kind of oil consumption it has. The answer is he could go to a 020. But if he has oil leaks, I would say no. If he has a whole lot of mileage on that 95 Lexus, like 125 and north of that, I'm going to say no. The fuel economy increase he's going to get from going from a 530 to a 020 will hardly be measurable, but it will be there. Now, just like your car, the way you drive, it's a situation where sometimes you can get 5 miles to the gallon depending on how late you are, and you can get 15 or 20 miles to the gallon depending on as you go from Goodwill store to Goodwill store and do your shopping.
When you get in my car, my average just drops. It's something
we're
about
not talking
that.
About me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My car is driven very
no,
nicely.
No, we're not talking about
when
me.
You drive
so
it.
I'm trying to draw a parallel to his fuel economy.
Is it 020? Is that a synthetic? Full synthetic?
Yeah. He's asking if he could use a 020. Obviously, he's going to extend his fuel, his oil change intervals.
Right.
Because you're not going to put conventional oil is a 3,000 to 5,000 mile oil change interval, and it's a cheaper oil by far.
Oh, yeah.
Our conventional's, what, 25, 29, 30? Something like
for
that?
For the oil change?
Yeah.
For the
conventional.
Yeah,
our semi-synthetic is 40. I know
right,
that one.
Right, right, right.
And then
yes.
Our it's 55 to 65 for a full synthetic, depending on how many quarts of oil you use. So each one of them has a different interval. What you don't want to do, that people do all the time, is they put a synthetic in it and change their oil at 3,000 miles.
Yeah, I've had some lady called the other day, and that's exactly what she was doing. And I said, well, you're just kind of wasting that money and the oil because you don't need to change it every 3,000 miles. And she didn't have any leaks. She didn't have anything, you know. So yeah. I was surprised. I tried to talk her out of it, but she was adamant she wanted it changed.
And you know, that's an important consideration. That's well, we've been in this business together. We got married in 1962.
No.
Okay, forget it.
I wasn't born before 62.
That's
just teasing.
All right. So we did. We started in this business in 1979, and we've been together since then. So you've heard thousands of my speeches and presentations and me talking at the front counter. But the bottom line is that you're right. People, this is what I call a love relationship.
Right.
My car's going to love me. If I put super unleaded gasoline and if I put synthetic oil in it, then my car's never going to break down. My car's going to love me. The problem is that car has no heart and no brain.
Right.
It actually has a brain, but it can control spark and fuel. But it has no heart and no brain. It doesn't know if you put, it doesn't know if you urinate inside the motor or if you put motor oil inside the motor.
Oh,
it
I
doesn't
don't know,
know
if that's true. But
it will know it, but I'm being facetious, but it doesn't know that. It doesn't know if you put cow manure with water inside the engine. It doesn't know that. So it's not going to care. It's going to fail with cow manure, but it just doesn't know. So it's not a love you issue. But okay. I understand you get some people that just want the comfort of the premium oil and a quick oil change, and you can't talk them out of it.
And she's good, yeah.
And so we'll do that for you.
Yeah.
This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by S&S Tire and Auto Service. S&S Tire has been around since 1976, which is longer than we have. They have mm-hmm. three locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. At S&S Tire, they have a comprehensive line of tires and many different brands of every different size. That's good for you, and I'll tell you why. So when you go in, you can say, this is the size, and he says, we have three brands. We have low, medium, and high. And he'll give you prices for, write your check now. When we're done, you don't owe me any more money. So it's got the environmental charges. It's got the sales tax. It's got the FET. It's got four tires. It's got mounting and balance. It's everything. So their list of tires includes this, farm tires, farm equipment, golf equipment, lawn and garden equipment, ATVs, trailers, commercial tires, construction tires, and, of course, passenger tires. So no matter what part of the West Valley you're in, Peoria, Surprise, or Goodyear, I would suggest that if you're looking for tires, try S&S. You have nothing to lose. It's only going to take you a few minutes to get an estimate, and that'll give you a baseline for everything else. Now, they also do all kinds of front-end work. They do alignments. They do tire-related work. But if not, they'll refer you to somebody else who has a better idea. 602-508-0960 is the phone number. The lines are wide open, so if you have a question, now's the time. 602-508-0960. One more time, 602-508-0960. Renee and I will be back after about 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll take your calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour of 11, or 10 o'clock, actually. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. Steve's on the line, but that means there's four available. So if you have a car question, or if you have a comment, or if you want us to settle an argument between you and your wife, or you and your husband, then 602-508-0960. Sitting to my right is my wife, Renee, and she's certainly the better half of the two of us. But let's go talk to Steve. Steve, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, my son has a 2001 Honda Accord. It's got about 125,000 miles on it. It's a V6 motor. And around 50,000 miles, the transmission was slipping, and Honda had actually sent a letter about that being a known problem, and they put in a new transmission around 50,000, 60,000 miles. You know, the kid's trying to stay up on it, take care of it, nurse it along for another 40,000, 50,000 miles. And we've wanted to have the transmission fluid changed. I guess there's this idea of flushing it also. And we've had people say not to do that, that you're basically, I guess, draining the swamp but replacing it with something worse, something about, like, not being able to really flush it, or maybe the flushing process does something with sediment or wear or something. I'm curious about it because we're wondering if we're, I Google, I look around for information on this, and I'm getting two stories. I'm wondering what your opinion might be about that.
Okay. And the difference between Google and me is that I got 39 years of experience working on cars. So it's a different story for guys like me. I can answer your question. In the old days, we had these transmissions that had an expected life of maybe 50, 60, 70 at the most, 1,000 miles. And when we took old fluid out, it was all varnished up. And the transmission was being held together by varnish. And the varnish would actually help things that moved and needed to be sealed. So as two pieces moved against one another, this varnish created, and there's wear, so there's a gap, but the varnish cleaned the gap out and, you know, took the place of the gap. Then you put new fluid in it, and then all of a sudden the varnish is gone. Okay. That was in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and maybe the 80s. But that isn't true today at all for any reason. That's okay. An old wives' tale that's been carried through, and when my customers say that, I tell them, that's crazy. That's not what I do. That's not what you should do. Now, here's the risk. The risk is the transmission may fail after you change the fluid. But when you take the pan off and you find pieces of snap ring and you find pieces of brass bushings, You say to the customer, you take a picture. We all have a camera.
Right.
You take a picture of it.
Yeah, that looks bad, right?
This is going to fail, buddy. That's
right,
all
sure.
There is to it. So, yeah. And here's what I tell people. Unless you have a sealed transmission, which is this whole new animal that we're having to deal with, then you do the first service somewhere between 30 and 60. Look at your manual. And I want to pull the pan. I want to see what's in it. I want to see what kind of clutch material's in it. I want to see what kind of metal's in it. I want to do the filter in the 3 or 4 quarts. Let's assume most transmissions hold 8 to 10, okay?
Right.
The next time you do it, I don't want to do the pan and the filter because I already did that early. I want to do the pan and filter first because it's going to shed the most metal the first 30 to 60,000 miles. The next time I want to hook my cooler machine up and I want to flush all your old coolant out and put new coolant in. The cost associated with that, and let me get my cheat sheet that my daughter and my wife make so handy for me. I'm going to give you kind of wide open stuff. The range, the average for the automatic transmission service, which is filter and 4 quarts of fluid, is 150, give or take 50. Okay? The flush is going to be 160, give or take 50.
So, all in?
All in. And I'm giving you that big round because I'm taking my number and I'm windowing it for you. Every time you a number, I window it. So
all right.
My daughter's saying that we are, let me look here, we're at 150, and so I gave you what? I gave you a $50 up
right.
and down.
Yeah.
So in reality, it's 110 to 210, just depending on the filter and how many quarts of fluid it
exactly.
is. And so the flush, she's got 147 to 160, and so I'm sure we're right in the middle of that. So that's how my daughter helps me with numbers.
Yeah.
So I can include, I can be inclusive. In your particular case, if the pan's never been off of it, I do the pan and the filter.
Uh-huh.
And then at 30 or 60, I do a flush. That's how I'd
handle it. After that, so you're saying do the first step with the pan and the filter, then put 30,000 miles on it, then do the next step?
Then 30 to 60, and then
do
a flush.
Yeah, okay, but not, okay, so it's sort of a two-step process, maybe somewhere between $300-$400 spread over whatever period of time it takes him to put 30,000 on. 30,
exactly. 60, we're going to do it. We're going to do filter and then a flush.
Yeah.
Then a filter, and then a flush. Then a filter, and then a flush.
Uh-huh.
All the way through the transmission's life. But chances are, most cars at 60,000 miles are just going to be a filter, and then a flush, a filter, and a flush. There's only going to be 4 of them, but there's going to be 2 cheaper ones and 2 a little bit more expensive ones. That's how it works.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay? All righty.
All right, man. Thanks
thank you
a
very
lot.
Much. You bet. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. Been around since 1970. Brian and Thelma are one of the nicest couples you'll ever meet. And they hold down all of Mesa on my behalf. They are the best shop for Mesa people. So they're at Stapley and Main, on Main, just east of Stapley. They've been around a very long time. They're third-generation businesses. And you only need to shake Brian's hand and shake Thelma's hand to know they're honest and good people. They can handle just about anything on your car or truck. And if they can't, they'll tell you. And that's pretty impressive. So when it comes to Mesa, your only choice as far as Mark Salem is concerned, the best shop in Mesa, is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street just east of Stapley. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we're going to go to the phones. Now, folks, I have somebody who sent me an email. I'll handle that question third. I've got Mike and Jim. They called in. I'm going to handle them 1 and 2, but this break's a long one. We're going to be out in 14 minutes, so if you want to call us, now's the time, 602-508-0960, but we're going to be here all next hour, too. So if you'd like to call us, fine, 602-508-0960. Let's go to Mike real quick. Mike, how are you today? What can I do for you?
Good morning to both of you.
Thank you.
All right. I've got a 2006 Toyota Highlander Sport, and it's time to replace the serpentine belt. I guess there's 2 belts on this.
Okay.
Vehicle. Can I do this from the top, or I have to come in from the bottom side of the vehicle to do this, and how complex is it?
Well, it's going to depend where the tensioners are.
Okay.
I can't tell you because there's 1,200 models of cars and trucks, and there's not enough room in my head for all of them.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what I think you should do. I think you should call a couple of shops and tell them, I have an 06 Highlander Sport, and you're going to need to tell them what motor you got.
Yeah, I've got a V6.
Okay, you say
3.3, I think.
Would you tell me, please, the dollar amount of what you would charge to replace those 2 belts? Now, if the dollar amount to replace those two belts is, and I'm going to do the math out loud, let's pretend $120. So 5/10 would be half of $120, so that would be $60. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say it's probably going to be 8/10 for both of them, somewhere around in that area. So 8 times 12 is $96, close to $100. So if they say it's $100, then they're saying a technician that's well-skilled and has all the necessary tools to unload those tensioners, those spring-loaded or hydraulic tensioners, then it's going to take him just shy of 1 hour to fix it, which in my math is about $96. So if you find out that those two belts are an hour and a half, which is $180 labor, then that means there is a significant amount of work. Maybe we have to pull the lower cover off. Maybe we have to do the outside belt first, which means unload a manual tensioner. So we then have to loosen up the lock on it. We have to unload the tensioner. We have to pull the outside belt on. And maybe we have to pull the fan off to get the outside belt over the top of the fan. I'm giving you the two extremes.
Okay. Right now I've got a price somewhere between about $190 to about $220.
For the belts included?
Yes.
That means, that tells me it's an easy job.
Okay.
Because the, each one of the belts is going to be $30 to $60 a piece because they're
Gates,
both serpentine.
Gates
belt. Oh, say it again?
Gates belt.
Okay, and Gates is fine. Gates is fine. Gate, you want to go with a good a name brand belt. You don't want anything that you never heard before. But no, Gates belts are fine. I think they come with a lifetime warranty. You might ask them that, and if it's so, then write it on your have them write it on your work order. That means the belt is free. The labor still they and you need to ask them about the labor.
Sure.
Is the part and the labor free, lifetime, or is it just a part? Have them write that down, because that makes a big difference. So at $60,000, $80,000, you look at it, maybe that's, it's lost a couple of ribs. Maybe it's start to crack on the rib side of the belt. Maybe the outside of the belt, on the back side of the belt that we also use to drive pulleys, gets really, really shiny.
Yeah.
And that belt's bad. So then you go in and you say, hey, I've got these two belts, and here's the warranty, and you said parts and labor, and they go, yes, sir. And they change both of them. Doesn't cost you a dime. So that's how I'd handle it.
Okay. Are there any particular, I'm looking at some place, Brakes Plus or something like that. Are they a good company?
You know, I probably am the same age as you are.
Yeah.
And and our mother said something about when you know when we were acolytes, our mothers used to say something to us, and very early in our age, they used to say, "If you don't have anything nice to say, then shut up."
Okay.
And so I'm going to say thank you very much, Mike, and move on. Okay.
Okay. Thank you a lot.
All righty. And Mike, let me tell you this: it doesn't make any sense to hire a brain surgeon to work on your foot. It doesn't make any sense to hire a transmission shop to do your timing belt.
They could probably do it, but it might not be the best thing.
Well, and it might be the first one they've done or the technician's done, and is that who you want working on your car? Why don't you go to the local high school and pick up some three-whiskered kid and have him do it? Okay?
We get the message.
Okay, calm down. I need to just vent a little bit, okay? What, who, somebody assigned you my psychiatrist or something? The heck with you, Jim. How are you today, buddy? What can we do for you?
Good, how you doing?
Good.
Got a question of off cars. It's a travel trailer question. I have a single 12-volt. We do a lot of dry camping. So someone told me to put either 2 6-volt in series, or which would last longer, 2 6-volt in series or 2 12-volt in parallel.
All right. What's more important is the kind of batteries you're using. Are you using a deep cycle or automotive?
No, it'd be a deep cycle.
Okay. That is a very tough question because you understand the deep cycle is a small amount of electricity over a long period of time, where a car battery is just the opposite. Huge amount of electricity for a short period of time. I think the fact that you're using 2 12-volts in parallel and you need 12 volts, so then parallel is negative to negative, positive to positive.
Yeah.
I think that's your bigger source of electricity than two big deep cycle 6 volts in series from positive to negative, negative to positive, which gives you 12 volts.
Yes.
Now, I want to draw your attention to this. In every RV I've ever seen, when they want deep cycle a service, they use 6 volts. Batteries in 6-volt pairs. It could be 3 pairs of 6-volt. It could be 2 pairs of 6-volt. So there's something to be said by that. And I think, and it's not a price issue, because those 6-volt Trojans, which are typically in golf carts and stuff, they cost a lot more than that 6-volt or 12-volt deep cycle.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking, now how much room have you got and how much weight do you want to add to this? Because 2 6-volt deep cycles are going to weigh a whole bunch more than 2 12-volt deep cycles.
Yeah, right now it's a toy hauler, so I do have a lot of tongue weight. So I'm thinking probably just another 12-volt, I think, might. I have a lot of room in the front.
Okay.
To add another 12-volt.
And if you've already got a 12-volt, I agree with you. I agree with you. Just put another 12-volt there, and if that one's a deep cycle, try to match it. And then you put 2 12-volts, and you go negative, negative, positive, positive, and then on the other end, you got your negative and positive, goes into the 3, you're fine. I agree with you. I think that's the best way. All righty?
All right, thank you.
You betcha.
John is your next caller.
Don, good morning to you. How can
John.
I, John, I'm sorry. I missed that. John, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. I have a 09 F-150, and it's got quite a few miles on it. And the transmission guy that's been servicing it told me not to flush the transmission because you'll take all the shavings off of the clutches and you can develop a problem. Is this true?
I don't believe it's true. I don't know who your transmission guy is. I don't know how long he's been in business, but let me tell you my credentials. I've serviced 10,000 cars a year or less. I have 20 bays at my shop, and I've been in this business since 1979. And I'm an ASE master service technician. And so I'm going to lay out my resume there for you. I'm also a certified automotive expert in every court in the state of Arizona. And I don't believe that. It is true if you have a 50, 60, 70, and some 80 cars. It is true. But we're not even using fluid from the 50, 60, 70, and 80s, and this is a fluid issue. What's happening is the fluid creates varnish, and the varnish holds the transmission together. And so if we go in there with fresh fluid, then the fluid is like scrubbing bubbles. And we're going to put this new fluid in your transmission, and all these scrubbing bubbles are going to clean everything up. And when they do, your transmission is going to fail. And I'm telling you, that's BS. We're not even using the same fluid that we used in the 80s. So we have new fluids, new synthetics, all that other kind of stuff. Now, if I was the guy pulling that pan off for the first time and you said it's got lots of miles and I noticed you didn't tell me how many miles it has in it.
178,000.
Okay. You have to know that you're well past the average life of that transmission. Okay. That transmission, most automatics are going to fail somewhere between 100 and 150.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, it's going to fail no matter what, and I say that it's going to fail in the next 20,000 miles. So you can put new fluid in it, you can change the filter, you can try to elongate its life, but if I pull the pan off that and I find parts in there that I shouldn't, I'm going to take a picture and show you and say, look, it's already shedding metal, it's already coming apart, and it was not the fluid that caused your transmission to fail. Now, I'm going to turn to you, my wife. How many times in the last 22 years since we've been in this new building have we had that an issue with me dictating that that's BS and we're going to change the fluid in old cars? Have we ever had someone come back and say, I want you to pay for my transmission because you ruined it on your next fluid?
No, we haven't.
No.
Has he ever changed his fluid, though, with the 170?
Yeah, John, have you ever done it in 170?
I change it about every 40,000.
Oh, jeez.
Then he should be fine.
Oh, you'd be fine. Yeah, I mean, and when you smell the fluid right now, does it smell burnt?
Mark, these new trucks, they don't have dipstick.
Well, your 07 should have a dipstick, buddy.
Oh, it's an 09.
Oh.
Still should.
It should, yeah. We
maybe?
I don't know. I could be wrong. Yeah. I've been wrong before. I was wrong when I married you, but.
No, that's my line. I was wrong when I married you.
All right. I don't know the answer. Let me ask you, what part of town do you live in?
In Glendale.
Okay, go over to Adolph's Transmission. And just pop the hood and say, Mark Salem doesn't know if this has a doggone dipstick. If it has one, would you show me where it's at?
Mark, it doesn't have one because I've been in the automotive aftermarket for years. And what they do is they go underneath, there's a little tube, and they hook up, and they just suck out whatever's in the pan.
Okay. And so you can take the pan off?
Yeah, you can take the pan off.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you suck the fluid out, and you put fluid back in until it comes out the hole?
Right.
Okay. I've never seen an automatic do that, but I'm going to take your word for it.
Okay.
So I've never seen that before, but I'm going to take your word for it. So if you've done, have you pulled the pan every 40,000 and then you put three or four quarts in it?
No, I don't. They don't pull a pan. They just hook up to the little tube and just suck out whatever's in the pan and then add oil.
But I ask you, does the pan come off and is there a filter in there?
Yeah, there
okay.
is.
Okay. Well, then I think that's a mistake because you should have pulled that pan and filter after the first one. You do the first one, maybe just do what we call a flush and fill, or a suck it out and fill it back up. Well, then you should
right.
have done the pan and the filter and then topped it off. Then you should have just done a suck and fill, and then you should have done the pan and filter. But what you're telling me is after all the mileage you got on this, you still got the same filter. That filter is going to be plugged up with clutch material and metal that the transmission sheds, and every transmission, automatic
right.
transmission, sheds metal. So
right.
to answer your question is I don't believe what you're being told. I don't know if it's got a dipstick or not. I'm going to take your word if you're in the aftermarket parts division, then I give you lots of credit for that.
Yeah.
But no, the answer is I wouldn't have any problem. If I owned that car, if I was your next-door neighbor, I would say the same thing. I wouldn't have any problems. I don't believe that. And if you start to pull the fluid out and you smell it and it's all burnt up, then the transmission on it, it's on the way out anyway. So, all right.
I take care of the truck real well. I change oil every 5,000, and it's in excellent condition. So do you suggest I go over to this Adolf? He's in Glendale.
Yeah, he's in Glendale. Just go over there and ask him, you know, what would you suggest that I do and see what he says. Adolf is the old man. Then he's got his son that's working there as well, and both of them are extremely qualified to give you that kind of information. I got to run, John. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960 is the name, is the phone number. If you'd like to join us, you can, or you can email me at mark@salemboysauto.com, mark@salemboysauto.com. Kurtz Automotive is over at I-17 in Bell. I know Kurtz. I know Eric, his lead technician. I know the family. When I refer you to Kurtz, it's not because he's paying me. It's not because I'm trying to send him business. I'm sending you to the best guy in that area. I don't make a dime off of that recommendation. Whatever you pay stays in his pocket. That's it. It's not mine. So Kurtz is a great guy. He's been around a long time, since 1987. He works on domestic, foreign. He works gas and diesel. He has ASE Master Certified Service Writer and an ASE Master Certified Lead Technician. So you're really getting well-trained and certified professionals. Kurtz is on I-17 in Bell, northeast corner. Great shop, great place to go. One more time, 602-508-0960. We have another hour of the show, so when we come back at 3 minutes after 10, we'll take our first caller, and that number again is 602-508-0960. If you want to email me your question, it's easy. Mark, with a K, at SalemBoysAuto.com. Salem is like the cigarette. Boys is B-O-Y-S, and then auto. If you can't spell that, then I can't help you. 602-508-0960. Maybe the guy in the hour before me couldn't spell auto, but I bet you can.
Where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. For an hour here, we're going to talk about car and car repair problems. So if you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open right now. Wide, wide open, 602-508-0960. My wife Renee is with me today, and she's being ornery, so there's nothing really I can do about it. Many of you that are married to ornery women understand my dilemma. It's just a burden I must carry just like someone carried the cross, if you know what I mean. Nevertheless, I have a couple of things that I want to touch base with. That we have a website or a Facebook page, both for our shop and for me personally. So you can go to Mark Salem at Facebook, Mark Salem in Tempe, Mark Salem the auto mechanic guy, the auto expert. But I want to tell you something. If you're going to friend me on Facebook, I'm not going to tell you that I'm at the spa having my toenails painted, which I never do. I'm not going to tell you I'm at the barbershop. I'm not going to tell you I'm in the doctor's office. That doesn't happen. We talk about cars. People ask questions. We have a discussion publicly. I ask them questions to help me, you know, center in on their problem. And we talk about, you know, newspaper articles and whether or not I agree with them or whether that's good information. It's just all car stuff. So if you want to go to Facebook and friend me and participate in those, you're more than welcome. Just recently, we had a discussion where there was three of us that disagreed. I disagreed with guy number one, and he disagreed with guy number two, and guy number two disagreed with me. So we all had a chance to say our piece, and we went on. So that happens, and it's part of the process. So Facebook is an important place. We also have all of our radio shows at SalemBoysAuto.com. You can go to media and then go to our podcasts, and you can pick up any show. And here's the good news. We tape all of our shows, and we put them on our website. They're also at KKNT, and as far as podcasts are concerned. But we cut the commercials out of them, so it's really, instead of a two-hour show, it's like an hour and 20 minutes. So you can speed it up a lot by going that. And I don't know, did that make sense, Gil? If it's 60 and 60, it's an hour and 20 minutes? 60 and 60? It's got to be less than that because we're cutting out all the commercials. So it's going to be less than 2 hours, I'll say that. Okay, 602-508-0960. Let me talk what else I've got. Oh, when you have a nice... if you have a nice contact with somebody, maybe it's a plumber, an electrician, maybe it's a painter, maybe it's your newspaper guy, maybe it's a restaurant that you had an exceptionally good meal at, may I suggest that you go in and do a review? You can use places like a Bird Eye. You can use Google. You can use Better Business Bureau. Those are the kinds of places that actually do a good job, in my opinion, with respect to good and bad reviews. And you can look at me. I have a couple of bad reviews, and I've got some good reviews. That's part of the process. There's one review place here in Phoenix that actually is kind of like us. It's a referral network. The funny story about them is this. In 1988, when I first started doing referrals, you know that that was quite a big deal.
It was.
It was
lots
a really big deal.
And, yeah.
It wasn't only lots of work, but there was a lot of skepticism, both from the consumer point of view and the shop's point of view.
Sure.
There was a lot of good, Mark, this is a good old boy network, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. A friend of mine wrote me an email a couple of years into that. Now, we were before Rosie. We were mm-hmm. before everybody.
Right.
We were the first ones, and here's why. Because back in 1988, the number one question people would ask me on the radio is,
where can I find a good shop?
Well, no, they would say to me, where's your shop?
Oh, well, yes.
Okay. But... And my mother said, you sound like SHT because you're sitting there thumping your chest every minute. And I said, I don't know how to answer that. Right. So as a result of me, them saying, where's your shop? I created the best car repair shops. And my next question would be, is where do you live?
Right.
And then they'd say Scottsdale, Glendale, you know, Goodyear. And I would send them to a shop that I've already vetted. So anyway, this friend of mine sends me an email, and he tells me I'm really asking for trouble, and I'm going to get sued, and he's talked to his legal counsel, and this is a bad idea. And it's a guy that I've been friends with for 100 years. So it was really you are the dumbest guy I know for pulling this off. Fast forward 15 years later?
Probably 15.
15 years later, he opens up his own site.
Right.
And so I sent him his email back because I had saved it. I had saved it in the best car repair shop folder.
Yes.
And so I sent it back to him, and he laughed his butt off. Now, I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he has a site, and I was in there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Out of 200 garages, everybody is 4.7 to 5.
How can that be? I mean...
Okay.
Our industry just isn't that happy with repair most of the time.
No, and that's it. I mean, even ours is, what, between 3.5 and 4.9. I don't think we have a 5 points anywhere.
Right.
So 3.5, maybe have three reviews and two of them are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a 3.5 star. But then you have other ones that are bigger, better, whatever. It's just a matter of volume. I went and looked at some of this other site's paperwork, and there's shops in there that have 300 and 400 and 500 reviews, and they have a 4.9. I can tell you right now that we're going to get one or two. I mean, if we're doing, 1,000 cars a month, we're going to get one or two bad reviews a month.
Well, sure.
But
maybe they're following up with these people and going in and saying, okay, here, you know, making it easy and... Well, unless you have a problem, a lot of times they're not going to review something. But if they have an issue, then a lot of times they'll go in there and...
You're right. It depends on how mad they are. Some of our industry's reviews happen to be they gave us bad information or bad diagnosis. Not a bad diagnosis. They gave us bad news is what I want to say.
Yes.
One of the things I had was a guy rated us like a 1-star. And what he had done was is he had brought his car in to have us inspect it based on his employer's list. So he was going to use his car for business, and the employer said, take this and have a certified shop go through this. Well, the car was a big, huge, rolling POS. And so we had no choice. We couldn't lie about, you know, one of the tires was bald and this and that. So we wrote it up that way. I mean, we couldn't say that this was a pristine car. This is a car that I wouldn't let you ride from here to Goodyear in. I mean, it was a car. And so he gave us a bad review, and I answered it, and I said, you know, hey, I'm sorry we gave you bad news, but we felt obligated to critically, inspect
give you
your car.
Yeah, straight
and,
shot.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is if we tell them this is a perfect car and you blow that bald tire and somebody dies, then your employer's going to sue me because I gave your car an A instead of an F.
So we didn't do any work on it. He was just mad because we told him it needed
the
so
message,
much work.
Yeah. The message. He was mad at the message. So, mm-hmm. And I apologized to him, but mm-hmm. there's nothing else I can do. And he didn't change it, so, I mean, that's going to stay there forever.
Right.
So, folks, if you get something good, let me and Bird Eye. You know what Bird Eye is?
Bird no, I've Eye, not heard of that.
It's a one that goes out and looks at all of your reviews.
Okay.
And they can put them all in the same place. So everywhere, for instance, if you go to Salem Boys Auto and then put reviews, mm-hmm. you put Salem Boys Auto in quotes. You
right.
want those three words in that order. Then you write reviews. You can look at all the review places that do us.
So is this something new? I know you got a call from them yesterday, but I wasn't sure what it was.
I went on their site to look at us.
Okay.
When you do, they ask for your email and who you are and all that kind of stuff. And they ask you if you own the shop or if you want to review the shop. Well, I said, no, I own the shop, and I just wanted to go in and look and see what they have. Well, then they called us, and they want to sell us everything mm-hmm. and all that other kind of stuff. They were nice.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see what they had about us. But what they have is what Google has, what Better Business Bureau has, and some of the other places.
I see.
So, anyway, that's kind of how the review system works. But one way or another, part of all of us, we want good reviews. There was a guy who was mad at me because of a price on a cabin filter. Mm-hmm. And he gave me he didn't give me a good name. So I spent... hours. I spent 4, 5, 6 hours hunting this kind of a car for a cabin filter so that I could verify that we charged the right amount for the filter and the labor.
Right.
So I couldn't. I spent a lot of time. So then all of a sudden he sends me a letter and his name is completely different.
Yeah.
Now I had said on the review, if you'll give me your work order number, I'll refund you any difference that you found some other place. So he didn't answer me there. So I spent 4, 5, 6 hours trying to figure this thing out. Because, you know, our database is huge. We have 38,000 customers, and I don't know how many cars we got. So.
And you like a good challenge.
Well, and I wanted to find his car.
No, I know.
So, you know, we have a code for cabin filter, and right. I had the specific kind of car he had. So, anyway, I couldn't find it. So then he sends me this, and he goes, well, my name's not really John Smith. It's Mark Salem. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm not going to give you the refund. You cost me 4, 5, 6 hours worth of time. You're an idiot. You should have just put your real name on there, and I could have found your work order, and I could have just made it right. But no, you go someplace else. I'm not interested in you doing business with me. You're going to use a BS name on the web, on the review site. You're going to give me a bad review. You're going to cause me a lot of heartache. And you know how much sleep I lost over that?
Oh, yeah, you do. I know you do.
So, you know, just be yourself.
Well, and I think a lot of times they're afraid to go back to someplace if they're not happy because, you know, they want to sell them more or they want to do this or, you know, and they feel like they have to come in screaming. And that's so not true with us, I know, but...
With many of the shops we know.
Yeah.
Screaming is the last thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. You want to go in and say, this is my problem, and then describe your problem in a normal way.
Right.
I'm very unhappy because this part is on the internet for $30 and you charged me $300.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the difference? Is it a part number difference? Did I write down the right part? Did you write down the right part? What brand is yours? What brand is this? You know, And then, you know what? Here's my phone number. Why don't you get back with me? When can you get back to me? Well, I can figure this out in a day's period of time. Well, fine. I'll look forward to your conversation next week and walk out. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if somebody does that to me, I'm going to do something for them. I mean, they're being really nice about it. Yeah. If we made a mistake, they're not kicking me under the bus.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just kind of that counters. Speaking of good shops.
Okay.
Air Park Auto is in North Scottsdale. They're off just off of Hayden and Raintree, just east of Hayden on Raintree on the south side of the road. Nadine runs Air Park Auto, and she has since 1985. Now, Stacy and Nadine, you'll remember, opened up their shop about the same time we did.
Right.
And we knew both of them, and we were all the same age. Stacy died, I don't know how many years ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago, from leukemia. And Nadine did what I hope you would do if I predecease you, and that's keep the business running. Mm-hmm. The fact that she's a female running an auto repair shop, and like you, she knows lots about cars because she's been around them pretty much all of her life. So if you're a female and you live in North Scottsdale, then why would you go anyplace else other than Nadine's Air Park Auto Service? She has a state-of-the-art. It's environmentally friendly. It's a clean and green place. They have the latest diagnostic tools, and they handle almost all makes and models of cars. So if you live in the North Scottsdale area, then I know you'll be happy with Air Park Auto. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Give us a call, 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Sitting here next to me is my wife, Renee. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday, you are here from 10 till noon talking about car and car repair problem. Let me tell you something funny real quick.
Okay.
I got a subpoena the other day on a legal case I'm working on, and they wanted me to provide them everything that I've ever written, I've ever said, I've ever participated in, everything since I first started in auto repair in 1979.
That would be pretty difficult.
And I said to the attorney, my attorney that I'm working for, I said to him, I've been on radio, television. I've done hundreds, if not thousands, of public presentations. I've answered email publicly on Facebook, on LinkedIn. And so all my stuff's out there. But it would literally take you and I a month or more to gather what we have, including all the TV shows, all the radio shows since 1988 that we've done, and put them on some kind of a device that they could have it. Plus, when we gave it to them, it would take them a year to listen to everything. So he wrote him back and he said, no, this is way too arduous. I mean, it's something that's just a stupid thing. And the judge agreed with him.
Well, that's
and I'm
good.
Really glad he did, because although we have that information somewhere, we'd have to get it.
Oh, yeah. And, I don't think we have all of it.
Well, no, you're right. But we have the servers. We have servers for the last 30 years,
sure.
But we'd have to fire up the server and get a oh, boy.
It costs a lot of money for
well,
that.
And we don't have, yeah, and we don't have, like all the newspaper articles for the Phoenix Gazette and the Phoenix Republic, Arizona Republic, we don't have a lot of those because we sent them to them and we didn't keep copies of them. Yeah. So we'd have to go through their archives as well. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. Anyway, Air Park, IMM Auto Service is a place on the northeast part of Tempe. They've been around since 1972, and that's actually when I met David for the very first time. He found me a Fiat we needed to do some testing on. So David, who runs IMM Auto Service, had a Fiat that was perfect for our inspection. And IMM works on all kinds of cars, domestics, imports, because they know that you have lots of cars in your garage. But they specialize in Swedish, Italian, and Asian vehicles. So if you have a Volvo, Saab, Fiat, or Alfa Romeo, they really specialize in that. But if you have a Chevy, a Ford, a Toyota, or a Honda in your garage, they can do that too. But they're really good at those Swedish, Italian, and Asian vehicles. So northeast corner, just south of the 202, just west of the 101, IMM. Auto Service. David's the owner. Great place to go. Let's go to the phones. Wayne, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
I have an 09 Chrysler Town & Country 4-liter engine and, of course, V6. It has an engine code that it's misfiring on cylinder 6, and it's an intermittent thing. Kind of comes and goes, but the code's in there.
Okay. So I know the you know, everybody on the internet's going to say replace the wire, replace the spark plug, replace this, replace that. But the problem is that now you know that your problem is in the state of Montana, but you don't know the city, and you don't know the street, and you don't know the street number. So right. Let me give you some options here. First of all, if it's intermittent, I think that if... How can I put this?
I don't know what you're going to say.
I know. It's I'm going to get in trouble. I would think, not talking to Wayne, but mm-hmm. let's talk about my brother. I would think my brother would be a doggone fool to chase an intermittent miss. It's better to just wait till it gets worse and easier to find. That's mm-hmm. simple. Because we may not pick this one up. The idea is that it could be the wire, could be the plug, but it also could be what else is on that runner for number six. Number six could have a variety of vacuum hoses coming off that runner, and the other end of that vacuum hose could be a problem. That would cause a lean condition on cylinder six, which is too much air, in relationship to the fuel. That creates a misfire. Too much air creates a misfire. Too much fuel creates a misfire. A vacuum leak creates a misfire. A spark plug, a wire, a distributor cap, a crankshaft sensor, a camshaft sensor, all of those can contribute. So all of those have to be tracked down. One of the very first things that really good shops do is we'll move the wire and the spark plug from number six to number two, and we'll just give it back to you. We'll charge you a half an hour's worth of time, and we'll give it back to you. And what we want to know is does the problem move with the plug and the wire? So if it all of a sudden it goes from six to two, then we know the plug or the wire is bad, and we say to you, bring it in back. We're going to change the plug and the wire, and you're out the door.
Okay, get a little bit more information.
Okay.
This first appeared at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And we were in California. And got the code and took it over to a shop there that I have confidence in.
Okay.
They check it out, and that's where they found the code. And by then, it had stopped happening. But the code was in the computer.
Okay.
So he said, same thing you did. Drive it till it gets worse, and we can maybe find it. And I said, well, okay, it'll probably be back in Phoenix then, since we live here. So anyway, bottom line is it has come and gone about three times since Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Most time runs fine. It hasn't gotten, you know, what I could say worse since then, and maybe 2,000 miles.
But had you ever smell sulfur?
No.
Okay, so I'm not overloading the cat with any fuel, and it's intermittent. I mean, I know you're fretting about this, and I know it's bothering you, but this isn't going to break you down. I guarantee you that.
Right. This I didn't run on five cylinders anyway.
Well, yeah, I would. You know, if you said that you smelled sulfur, then I'd be a little bit more concerned. But I'm just not concerned. I've given you the best advice. If it were my now, I love your mother.
Yeah.
Okay. If this were her car, I'd certainly do it.
I guess you'd only have to worry about it when he goes to emissions, and because you can't have a light on. But
that's exactly right. He's going to have to do something by emissions, mm-hmm. but that's going to be a shotgun repair.
Right.
We're going to change all the spark plugs and all the wires, and we're only going to have about a 40 to 50, maybe 60% chance of success on this.
Well, and so that's why I'm saying just wait until then. Maybe it'll do it or get worse before then.
And clearing the code isn't going to make anything happen, because when you clear the code, you clear the history. So if you just keep letting it happen and you keep the check engine light on there, but your old car, your 09, is not going to have what we call historical data. So it's not going to, but even if we had historical data, you have enough for us.
2 minutes.
So if you're capable of doing it yourself, then just swap the wire and the spark plug to another cylinder. So just unplug it and move it, the spark plug and the wire. And if it's got coil over ignition where the coil mounts on top of the spark plug, then move the coil, the boot, which is a little piece of wire, it's a rubber piece about 2 inches long, and the spark plug, and move it to some other cylinder. And we want to know if the problem moves. Because if the problem moves, we at least we've narrowed it down to the coil, the wire, or the spark plug. How many miles are on it?
Right. 61,000.
And so it's never had a set of plugs, but it's not due for a set of plugs, is it?
Right.
Okay, because I think you're in the 80 to 100,000 mile range, if I'm going to guess on yours. So,
yes.
If you want to try a guess, then I would say throw a set of plugs in it. But if they're platinum or they're double platinum or if they're high-end spark plugs, you can be paying $20 a piece for those six spark plugs plus the labor to install them. And now all of a sudden we've got a $200 guess on our hands. So that's kind of the option you have. We've discussed them all. So you can guess, but I'm going to say you're going to guess with your money. Shop is going to let you guess with their money. You can guess, you can wait till it gets worse, or you have to go through emissions, or you can swap a couple of parts. I think the swapping of the cylinder, the spark plug and the wire is the best thing for you. Thank you very much, Wayne. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. If you'd like to call us, you certainly can. And what else have we got to talk about? We have an email.
We have an email. I don't know if you have enough time, though.
No, I don't. But we'll get the email when we come back.
Yeah.
If you want to send us an email and you want to ask us a quick question, mark@salemboysauto.com, mark@salemboysauto.com. Otherwise, you can call us. The lines are wide open right now, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. One more time, 602-508-0960. Mark and Renee Salem, at your service. Give us a call. We'll help you with your car problem. Okay, everybody, 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee Salem. I'm Mark Salem, and we're here at your service. She has as much experience in the auto repair industry as I do. She's not ASE Master certified, but she's certified in customer service, customer relations, and handling calls over the phone about how to fix my car.
There you go.
Oh, hang on just a minute. Say that
there
again.
There you go.
All right, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto. Larry Harker's Auto has been around in Phoenix since 1967. Bob and Ellen are owners of Larry Harker's Auto, and Bob is one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met in my life. So no matter what kind of problem you have, auto electrical, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, check engine light, he's the kind of guy that can find your problem. No matter foreign or domestic, he can find it and fix it. Intermittents are a little problem, but if it's there and there all the time, then Bob can find it and fix it. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School, and I'm very proud to recommend Larry Harker's Auto Repair to those of you that live in that area. What do you want me to do?
Let's go to Bob.
Okay,
on the phone.
I'm sorry. Hey, thank you for giving me guidance. Bob, good morning. How can I help you?
I've got a 2008 Subaru Outback wagon, 2.5 liter, non-turbo, automatic transmission.
Okay.
I have had this problem all the time. During the winter months, you don't notice it because you don't have the air on. But they recommend 750 on the RPMs at idle.
Okay.
Now, is that in gear or in neutral or parked?
Well, typically, tell me what the problem is you're chasing first.
Well, it seems to really lug down, particularly during the summer months when you do have the air on. That idle will drop sometimes down to like
500.
And that seems low to me, and it does seem like it's struggling
okay.
at an idle.
All right.
In gear.
Okay. I needed that information. Otherwise, we're going to spend a whole lot of time dancing around. I can answer your question very simply. There is going to be adjustments on the idle circuit of that car. We're going to have what we call a minimum idle. So let's pretend it's 600. That's 600 in drive, and we don't care what it goes to when you shift it into park and neutral. We just want it at 600. Now, when you turn the air on at 600 in drive, it's probably going to drop at 50 to 100 RPM. We need an air conditioning kicker motor, and we can use that. We can open up an air orifice. We can be a mechanical issue. There's 100 different ways to give you back that RPM. But if it's 600 in drive, we want it at 600 in drive with AC on or AC off. And the only difference with AC on and AC off is the kicker. So we need to properly adjust the kicker to bring it back up. That's it. So we're going to look at what we call curb idle, sitting there. It's either going to be a neutral or drive, and your specification will specifically say parentheses P or parentheses D. At least it does in my software. And then you're going to reset it. This is something that can probably be done by somebody who knows what they're doing for probably $50, is to synchronize those two idles, as long as your air conditioning is properly serviced. Okay?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I got one more question, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
I got in just as you were talking about the oil or a transmission fluid, and the filter change.
Okay.
Mine was done on a regular basis. I had one of those extended warranty things with Subaru when I first bought it.
Okay.
30,000 miles was when they did it. I have 80 now. Do you think it needs
two minutes
changed and the filter changed again in the transmission?
Well, I would want to know what the interval is on your owner's manual, because that's what we need to deal with. So if your owner's manual is calling for a 30 interval, then you're way past your 60. But if it's calling for a 60 interval, then your 30 was early. So you can go ahead and do your 30 or your 60 now. So you did 30 and 90. So it just depends on what your owner's manual says. If you have an aftermarket warranty, they're going to look at your owner's manuals for those stop points. They're going to hold you to those stop points. In your case, if you had the filter and fluid done the first time, and you did it at 30, and by that time the transmission has shed and polished everything it's going to do, then I would do a flush this next time. So I would replace all the fluid this next time, and I would not be doing the filter. That's what my recommendation to you would be.
Do not do the filter.
No. No, because
if they did it the first time.
Yeah.
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 I was just looking at my paperwork, and yeah, they did it 30,000.
Okay.
One minute.
Your car's been around the world one time because it's 25,000 miles around the girth of the earth.
Right.
I promise you, your transmission's done shedding the big stuff. So, the 30 was the appropriate time. So, again, back to your owner's manual. Thank you very much. I got to move on. And we've got an email from Henry.
Henry. He says, replacing a steering column on a 2000 Mustang GT automatic. Can I use a column from a manual shift car?
If he has the shifter on the center console and it's manual or manual transmission or automatic, there's a good chance he can, because the ignition system on the steering column will probably match. The power goes from the ignition switch through the neutral safety switch in the automatic transmission or the clutch switch in the manual transmission, which means they have to be in park or you have to have your clutch in order to get the motor to crank over. So the electronics will still be there. But to answer your question, Henry, that's easy. You know what you do? You go call a couple of wrecking yards and you say to them, what years of 2000 GT automatic can I use? And they're going to say to you, from this year to this year, and both of them are interchangeable, and he's home free.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if they say they're never interchangeable, and they have that kind, because when you call in and you say, I need a steering column for a 2000 Mustang with a V8 and a automatic transmission, they're going to look in the book, and I guarantee you there's a spread of 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it may very well say SNM, mm-hmm. and that's not what you think it means. It's standard or automatic.
Yeah, right.
Okay? Or actually, standard and automatic is SNA. So forget that.
Yeah, you got bad stuff on your mind.
I know. It's not bad stuff. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. What's the name of that wrecking yard we use over in Mesa? All-American or American Auto Wrecking?
American Auto Recycle.
Yeah. If you call them, those are the guys we used, and that's the guy I would call them. And they're over on Baseline Road in Mesa, mm-hmm. and they can answer his question completely for free, and they would look in their books. Yeah. 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're in the last segment of our show. It's 44 minutes. It's 45 minutes here, but in about 6 seconds. Between now and 58, which is 13 minutes, mm-hmm. we're going to take your call, but you have to call us. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange. Phil, who owns Automatic Transmission Exchange, has been rebuilding transmissions in the Phoenix area at the same spot since 1968. If you've gone up and down Washington Street near 40th Street, as you go in and out of the city, perhaps from the East Valley, you've driven by Automatic Transmission Exchange at 40th Street in Washington maybe a couple hundred times. Phil's open up on Saturdays from 8 to 12 for your convenience. That's when you take your car by and one of the guys will drive it with you. That's free. Show me what you're talking about. Teach me how to make it happen, and then I can tell you what direction to go in. All of our transmission shops can do that, but Phil's open on Saturday for just that. So if you're looking for a good transmission shop and Central Phoenix is convenient for you, then Phil at Automatic Transmission Exchange is the place, 40th Street in Washington.
John is your first caller.
John, good morning to you. How can I help you this morning?
Mark, interesting show. I'm in Scottsdale.
Yes, sir.
And this is a silly informational question.
Okay.
My car, a Hyundai, has a temperature gauge outside. And even though it's baking in the sun, the temperature gauge is still reading my thermometer. Where is that sensor?
In the grill, usually in the grill. It could be in the. It has to be outside the car because it's an outside temperature. So most of the time it's in the grill. If you want to know where the sensor's at, then stop by your local Hyundai dealer and go into the parts department and say to them, my sensor is acting up. Do you have a sensor? And they'll look it up, and they're going to need your registration because they're going to go off your VIN number. And they'll say yes. And you'll say, can I take a look at yours? And they'll say yes. And so they'll go get it and bring it out, or they'll show you a picture of it. And you can say, oh, that thing, I have never seen that. And they'll say, okay, well, it's located on, let me look at the book here, on the passenger side headlight, just to the left of the passenger side headlight. And you say, well, am I facing the headlight or am I sitting in the car? And they're going to say, oh, no, we always go from the driver's position. So it's to the left of the headlight as you're sitting in the car. And you say, okay, you know what, I'm going to check the connection and I'll be back to see you. That's it.
Okay. Now, a general question, do you find that most temperature sensors outside are somewhat accurate?
I can tell you that my Dodge truck is a lot accurate, and I can tell you my wife's F-car, and I can't use any other word but call it an F-car because she bought the very first F-car my family's ever owned since 1856. And so I'm embarrassed to say that because just like earlier on, somebody called in and they had a Ford. Here it is with 125,000 miles. Though most of those people lie about those Fords because they don't go 125,000 miles, and yours isn't either.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll see.
The fact of the matter is that at least in the carpool that we have,
yes,
and we have some shop vehicles and we have a customer van and stuff like that, it is my understanding that it's going to be within 1 degree of what the heck is going on. And really what's kind of, and we notice when we come off the ranch, when we come off the rim, mm-hmm, is it'll actually say that as we go through Payson, it'll actually say Payson's 37 degrees, and it'll show that. I think as I go faster, there's a wind chill factor, but in reality, it doesn't go lower the faster I go. Now, when I start doing 100 miles an hour, it doesn't change. So I'm thinking it's calibrated for the wind chill.
And but you admit that. I can't even believe it. Finally.
I'm doing it in my truck, though, but not in your F car, who can't do 100 miles an hour. All righty, John, good luck. Thank you very much. Those are great questions. We've got another question on the internet. It says, Mark, my son needs a reliable used car for college. Budget is about $3,500 max. Can you recommend a good source to search for this? I have two things for you, Jay. Number one, Google, or not Google, but Craigslist. And number two is make sure you take it to a shop and have a used car checkover done on it. And number three is get a Carfax. Here's why. There's a million people now that have used car dealer licenses. So they go to the auction and they buy these pieces of crap from the auction that they have no history on. Then they say to you when you call, my name is Oscar and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my daddy died and his car's, I'm doing a Texas accent for the Milwaukee guy, so I'm going to say he's from Texas. My daddy died and I'm here trying to liquidate his thing and I can't find the maintenance records because you ask for maintenance records and they say, well, we can't find it. Well, this guy just bought that car 2 days ago. He bought it for $2,000. Now he wants $3,500. He doesn't know anything about it and he's not going to be around for you to come after. So you have to be on your toes. Let me tell you a quick story because we don't have any callers.
We got George.
Oh, George, I'm going to take George and then I'm going to tell the story. George, okay. Good morning. What can we do for you, buddy?
What's the terminology for that diversion gate in the heater system?
It's called the blend door. Now picture that it's an upside down, or it's a Y,
right.
the letter Y. The blend door is at the confluence of the two tops and the tree trunk at the bottom. And the blend door is supposed to open and close to give you the temperature you're asking for. And there are sensors in those ducts to tell you the temperature. So if you ask for 70, then the blend door, if the temperature is 65, then the blend door is going to close the cold and open the hot. And when it gets close to 70, then it's going to start blending a little bit more to the cold side and give you a mixture of hot and cold and maintain your 70. But the computer is controlling all of that. All right?
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So a friend of mine calls me and he says, my daughter just wrecked her car of U of A. And he says, I need to buy her another car. And he says, I have a little bit bigger budget than this guy does. And so I say to him, well, what about, Craigslist? And he says, what you say is the truth. Every other person, they don't have any maintenance records, and they're lying when they tell me that this car's been in their family all their life because they don't know anything about it. I said, okay, well, you got to do a Carfax. He goes, well, that's, you know, like $20 a time. And I said, well, it's $20 well spent. But I made a mistake. Listen to me carefully, folks. I made a mistake.
Oh, I'm going to write that down.
Write it down.
What date
is it?
1/28/17. Okay, go ahead.
I made a mistake. So I sent him to a friend of mine who has a used car lot, and he buys a car. My mistake was is I should have had that car brought up here, and we should have checked it then and there. But we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought the car, and he brought it to us. And it was ugly after that. We wrote $2,000 worth of work on this car, this $6,000 car. We found brake shoes in the back that were soaked in brake fluid because the wheel cylinders were leaking. The rear shock absorbers were bad. The hood shocks were bad. There was an engine noise in the engine. The tires were bald or almost bald. There was a small oil leak at the transmission oil pan, and there was a small oil leak at the oil pan. We had to pull the front of the engine off to get to the water pump because we were sure that was making the noise, but that necessitated a timing belt and all the tensioners. That alone was like $1,200. My question to the used car shop was this. If you would have done any kind of inspection, you would have seen that the rear brake shoes are saturated in brake fluid. You would have known when you opened the hood that the two hood shocks were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a 2x4 or you put some kind of a rod in there to hold it. And if you would have listened to that motor, you would have seen the noise immediately. You would have heard the noise immediately. You know what they said?
What?
They said, we'll cover the rear brakes for about $250, which is 100 shy than what needs to be,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Or
wow.
He can come back and trade it in on another car.
Wow.
So I don't know what he's going to do,
mm-hmm.
but I made a mistake. I should have said to him, before you sign the deal, before you write the check, just have him put a dealer plate on there, drive it down here, let me check it out. I didn't do that. So he's in a world of hurt. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He may fix it. He may not. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cut his bill in half because I'm half responsible. So if it's a $2,000 bill, I'm going to do it for $1,000. I'll do all $2,000 for $1,000, and I'm going to make it right. But the issue is we screwed up. We screwed up. And here's something. I walked by one of my techs, and I said, and I didn't know that this was the car.
Okay.
We were doing the used car checkover after he had already bought it. So I said, what are you working on this? He goes, well, I got a timing belt slap in the cover. Now, it's a rubber timing belt
mm-hmm.
that's not supposed to be slapping at all. And there's a rubber cover around it, a plastic cover. So I said, that doesn't sound like a timing belt slap to me. And he goes, no, it is. And I said, well, touch the cover and see if you can feel it. So he touches the cover, and he looks at me for a long time, and I can tell he's trying.
It wasn't slapping it, huh?
He was trying to backstep.
Yeah.
Okay? And God bless him. You
yeah.
know what I mean? We all learn from one another. So he goes, you're absolutely right. And I said, okay, what's next? And he says, I'm going to pull all the fan belts off and see if the noise goes away. That'll tell me if it's the alternator or whatever. So he pulls all the fan belts off of it, and it doesn't go away. So then he determines that the water pump is inside behind this cover, and it's driven by the timing belt. So the timing belt's not slapping the cover because you can't touch it and feel it, but the water pump is making the noise, and the reason why we know that is because the water pump's not being driven by the fan belts that we've already removed. So we're going to go in there and replace the water pump, and it's a five-step process, okay? One, the fan belts come off. Two, the accessories come off. Three, the cover comes off. Then the belt and all the tensioners come off, and the water pump is the deepest part of that. So in order to get to the deepest part, we got to take the timing belt off and all the tensioners and the idlers. So we're going to do all that because it's
right.
free labor.
Mm-hmm.
So we bid it that way. We bid it all the way through to the water pump. So I said, had we heard this before, we would have known the hood shocks were bad. We checked the brakes, and we would have known the tires. And you know what else? The tires were 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
And industry standards are very close to saying no tires on the road after 11 years. Now, I can tell you the discount tire won't touch your tire if it's 10 years old. They won't rotate it. They won't fix it for a flat. They'll do nothing more than take it off and throw it away for you.
Mm-hmm.
Salem Boys, our shop, has mimicked that because
right.
I deal with that every day of my life in the legal arena.
Mm-hmm.
So our industry has been fighting for years because the tire companies want an expiration date on a tire, and they actually kind of want 7 years. That's going to double their tire sales
sure.
overnight, so they want that. The lawyers
don't want an expiration date on the tire, because if your tire has an expiration date of 7 years and on 8 years it blows
fails.
Out and it kills your family, they want to be able to sue the tire maker. But if the tire expired at 7 years and it's 8 years and your family died, then there's no lawsuit because the tire expired.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these lawyers and the tire guys, and they're a little bit on either side. God bless them both. I don't care.
So why didn't you tell John to do a used car inspection first?
It wasn't John.
Your friend. It wasn't John. Yeah,
it was Mike.
Yeah.
And I messed up, but I'm going to make it up to him if that's what he wants me to do.
I know.
So if he decides he wants to fix it. But the bottom line for Jay is, buddy, $3,500 is a really small number, and you're going to hardly find anything that's. Maybe to college and back if he lives 2 or 3 miles, may or may not have operating air conditioning. It may be an oil leak or an oil consumption, but if you just need transportation between $2,500 and $3,500, you can probably find that. But you're not going to find something that has brand new tires on it, and you're not going to find something that has air conditioning that works perfectly,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to find something with an interior that doesn't look like it's been in a frat house once or twice.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's going to be hard.
It's a hard number. But I can tell you this. We have a van. It's an Astro van. It's an 02 Astro van. It has two bucket seats in the front. It has a bench in the back for two people. Then it has a third seat for three people. It is in pristine condition, and I have all the maintenance records since 2002. We're cycling it out of our business. This thing doesn't even leak oil. This thing doesn't have any air conditioning issues. I just had my guys replace everything underneath the hood of this thing. And it's $4,000. So it's a white Astro van.
Yeah, I'm not sure her college son would want to drive
no,
a van.
You're
I'm
right.
teasing,
you're
I
right.
know.
For the rest of you, though, if you know anybody who's looking for a van, it's an 02 white Astro van. And the reason why we got rid of it is because some of our older customers were having a tough time getting into the Astro because it sits so high. It's more of an industrial van.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought a Town and Country Dodge van, and our customers love that because both doors open on both sides. Nevertheless, Mark at SalemBoysAuto.com if you want to talk about the van. Mark at SalemBoysAuto.com. I'm Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Randy Salem. We'll see you next Saturday right here on KKNT.